Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
As part of its submission on a local government New Zealand issues paper exploring electoral reform, Auckland Council has expressed its support for a four-year electoral term. Like central government, Auckland Council currently operates on a three-year electoral cycle. In exploring local government reform, the LGNZ paper also looks at public understanding of local government, public awareness of candidates and policies, and voting methods for local elections, raising questions about who's responsible for improving these areas and what the future of local government voting might look like. For our first interview of 2025, I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about Council's LGNZ submission, as well as Council's general plans for 2025. I started the interview asking her what some of the key focuses of the paper were.
Well, the main motivation for doing this is an understanding that voting numbers are dropping, number of people who are voting in local government elections, people's participation in traditional council processes like submissions are dropping. There's a lack of understanding of what local government is, what it does, and its relevance to daily life. And so LGNZ have picked all of that up and gone, okay, well, what is the role that electoral politics, because that's part of what council does, what is the role that the election processes and the culture of democratic decision-making are contributing, and how could we fix those or do things differently to see how we can improve participation and understanding, basically.
In Council's submission on the paper, it expressed its support for a four-year electoral term instead of the current three which Council and central government adhere to. What are the factors that informed Council's stance and support for a four-year electoral term?
Well, it's one that has been sort of battered back and forth for a long time, and there are pros and cons, and I think at this point what we're saying is, in principle, we think it's a good idea to look at it look at it quite seriously rather than going, we should absolutely tomorrow shift to a four-year term. So it's sort of a qualified support for it. And basically, there are real difficulties in a three-year term from, and central government faces this too, of actually getting enough momentum. And so what tends to happen around here is that you spend the first 6 months of a new term with people, we get elected in mid-October, we actually start, get sworn in and stuff usually around the 1st of November. Then the mayor has to do their first proposed budget by about, and we vote on a draft of that by mid-December, and then, and that's quite a short time frame, especially if you've got a new mayor, particularly someone from outside the organisation who's not familiar. And I know that was a struggle for the mayoral office. They were putting together all their staff and things like that, and you've got to put out your first draft budget. And then there's the summer break, and so nothing really happens until February. And then you continue to do a whole lot of the induction work of the, people starting to learn, new members in particular, learning how do things work, how do I get something done, how does a decision get made, and then the dynamics too of, the new people and the old people working together and how does that work. And realistically, the first 6 months of the term are sort of taken up a lot of the time with that, what in sort of management speak, there's that forming, norming, storming, performing, or whatever it is, that's that norming part of the process of going, how do we work together? How does this work? How do we do this? Even if you're mostly returning members on a local board or a council, there's still a period of what the hell? How do we do this again? And then you also lose at least 6 months at the other end of the term because people are focused on the election. So in a three-year cycle, you actually only get 2 out of 3 years that everybody is able to sort of focus, and that's actually not a lot of time, particularly when some of the issues that we're dealing with are really long-term issues. And so if people are only thinking in three-year election cycles, and a year of that is effectively, lost to getting re-elected and then getting your seat under the desk, getting into that groove of how to work together, then it starts to become really difficult to get momentum. And one of the things that tends to happen as well is that the council staff and the sort of business as usual staff tends to lose momentum during those periods as well, the pre-election and the post-election period. So that's one of the key drivers for why 4 years, it's the same at a national level. 4 years is quite common internationally. The UK actually has 5 years terms. So I think it's definitely worth a serious look at, because I've seen firsthand that loss of momentum, and a lot of the challenges we face require a longer view.
With regards to any other areas of reform that council may have voiced support for in this submission, what future for local government would Auckland Council like to see work towards?
I think generally we're really supportive of the idea of localism, that, you know, decisions should be made at the most local level possible. And that's also known as the principle of subsidiarity, just to put a bit of local government jargon in there. And how that plays out in Auckland, there is a tension there between whether decisions should be made at a regional level by the governing body and mayor, or at a local board level. And so we have sort of an additional tension there that doesn't exist in other parts of the country. But I think in general, that idea of let's make decisions at the closest level to the people who are actually impacted, so as local as possible, whilst also being able to include, you know, all the people in that, is definitely something we strongly support. And so how the electoral process can be set up in a way that encourages that participation, that gets more people voting in particular. One of the things I've come across a lot is people who rent often think that they aren't entitled to vote, and they absolutely almost always are. Permanent residents can generally vote. So, you know, one of the things is that disconnect from knowing that you can participate and you can have a say, and also the disconnect from knowing that you can make a difference, you know, that actually it makes a difference, that when you flush the toilet, that's local government. When you walk up the road to the dairy, that's local government. When you drive your car or are on a bus, that's local government. We're actually everywhere. And so how we get people to make that connection and then know that they can take a meaningful part in an election but also in other processes, that's where we need to get to.
And Auckland Council voted to leave LGNZ in 2023. With regards to this, Mayor Wayne Brown has questioned the relevance of responding and submitting on its paper. Do you think that it is still relevant for Auckland Council to be participating in submitting on this?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a third of the country by population. We represent rural, suburban, metro. We have islands and regional parks, and you know, we are different from the rest of New Zealand, but in a way we're also a microcosm of the rest of New Zealand. And so our absence from this process, I think, would be really detrimental. It's actually quite nice of LGNZ that even though we're not a member, they came up and met with a couple of us and have, you know, welcomed our submission, and we'll be taking it on board because they acknowledge that, you know, we're also quite a leader in this space. So a lot of our submission is actually around, hey, this is what we've tried, this is what we've found works, this is some research we've done. Because we have the bulk and the size to often try these things out. We've been doing a lot of work in the deliberative democracy space lately, where we get together a group of around 50 relatively random Aucklanders that are roughly representative of some of our population trends, and we talk through a complex issue with them and try and get, you know, get some sense of what their appetite is for risk for natural hazards, or what should we do about cats as a pest problem. Now, some of those are really awkward, how do we do that? And so we're actually leading a lot in that space, and so a lot of the other councils are keen to know what we're doing. And it's good to be able to share and to hear what they're doing too.
Just with that in mind, where does Auckland Council sit currently with regards to its relationship with Local Government New Zealand then?
So there has been some discussion about, in particular, how local boards, because local boards were strongly in favour of staying in LGNZ, they have been able to sort of opt in. I think there's some money that gets exchanged for this, but I don't know. They have been able to opt in to some of what our GNZ is offering as individual local boards. The Young Elected Members Network and also the Māori Elected Members Network, which have both been really pivotal in supporting individual elected members in those spaces. I used to be in the Young Elected Member Network because in local government you're young if you're under 40, which may be a bit of a shock to your listeners. So if you're under 40 when you get elected, you are considered young in this context, because that's how unusual it is to have people under 40. So I know that there has been some continuation of those types of networks and Auckland elected members being able to participate in them. But by and large, you know, obviously the Mayor's not participating in the LGNZ National Council. How that works in the future, I guess we'll just have to see. I didn't support leaving LGNZ. I think it's a loss, but people are still, for example, attending the conference, although, of course, we have no voting rights to influence LGNZ's position on anything.
And just lastly, as this is our first interview of 2025 for city councilling, going into 2025, what are some of Auckland Council's key focus areas for this year?
So one of the big things is going to be what I'm referring to, and I need to find a better name, as the recovery tail. So that's thinking about the impact of the 2023 weather events and the fact that we are buying a lot of land through Category 3 houses that are not safe to continue to live in, that kind of stuff. So we're going to be doing a lot of work and making a lot of decisions around, okay, what do we do with that land? What are the temporary uses of that land that could happen until we are able to use them for the stormwater improvements that mean that, you know, potentially some of that land could go back to housing or could become a local park or whatever. So there's some really important work coming up on that in the next couple of months. And also, how do we, with those outstanding cases, individual cases, and I've got quite a number of them, where people haven't settled with council yet, or they're still having issues with flooding, but they're a Category 1, so they're not eligible for a buyout offer, blah, blah, blah. So working on all of that, I think that's going to be really important in the first half of the year. Also, so that's going to be particularly important for the areas that were hard hit. The other thing that's going to be really important across the whole region is going to be the reform of the CCOs. So we'll be looking at how do we signed off on some changes at the end of last year. How do those actually happen in practice? So that's shifting the development, physical property development function into Auckland Council as opposed to it being Arms with Eki Pānuku. How is that actually going to work? And then also changes to economic development coming in-house. And then the bigger piece, which I think the public will be really interested in, will be about changes to Auckland transport, some of which are determined, but a lot of which are yet to be sort of worked through with central government, what that's going to look like. The budget's probably not going to be very controversial this year. There's a few sort of relatively little holes that we need to address in terms of funding gaps. But by and large, I think that conversation about Auckland transport is going to be the really hot topic over the next 6 months. And then we have the election. So everybody make sure you're registered to vote. And 17-year-olds, you can pre-register online. Takes 2 minutes. My newly 17-year-old did it while we were on holiday. And then that means that as soon as you turn 18, you're all registered to vote. And boom, you get your voting papers and everything without doing anything.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to me about Auckland Council's submission on the Local Government New Zealand Issues paper exploring electoral reform and Council's plans for 2025.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Councilling on 95BFM.
We'll be right back after this short break. This track is by Yola Tengo. It's called Autumn Sweater.